It is a different experience to enter into a quiet time with everybody else around, isn't it? If we're looking for that still small voice, it's harder to tune in when there's a crowd. But I think that God's voice can speak loud enough to our hearts to hear if we tune in. Let's pray. God, as we spend this time together this morning, we ask for You to speak to our hearts, to enter into communion with us, and Lord, that we could sense what You're saying to us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the quietest of services. You could hear the rustling of a child someplace about the middle of the congregation. It was the quietest of experiences, yet you could hear the sniffling of a lady to the side as she was trying to gain control of her emotions of grief. Funerals can be the most tranquil of services. And sometimes silence is awkward, but there are other times when silence is just the thing to speak in words when you can't use the words to hear and say things to your heart that no words could convey. In the part of the program that's usually there when someone comes up to sing, and it was that part, and usually a song is there, one of the family's favorites, or it could be that sometimes it's just a song of hope to encourage the family. And at that time, the singer got up and he brought a song that I'd heard before, a modern version, but somehow never heard in this setting. The words were simple. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm holy. And suddenly in the midst of a text that I'd heard lots of times before had new meaning, a new perspective. I was moved in the midst of chaos and grief, a recognition during the time of pain that there's a God who has power. There's a God who can step in the midst of our lives. Be still. It wasn't about being quiet. It was about stilling the voice inside of fear and anxiety and questioning. It's about stilling the fear of doubt. It's about stilling the striving to gain control. It's about stilling the confusion. Be still and know that I'm God. I looked in Psalm 46 again. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Sometimes I need to be closeted in, don't you? Closeted into a fortress that protects me from all that's going on in the outside world, from the pace that's there, and an inner stability to gain an anchor to hold me through the storm. Sometimes I need to step into that quietude to reconnect with God. Today is an invitation for an experience that we have coming up. As you leave the sanctuary, you'll receive a letter that reminds you of the 10 days that we start this next Wednesday. Wednesday, worldwide, our denomination is calling for 10 days of prayer and fasting, an opportunity and fasting from the world, or forsaking all secular trivia, pulling away and taking 10 days to seek God's Holy Spirit, to see what would happen when we as a world church come together to seek God. there'll be actually opportunity for us to meet together on that first Wednesday, and then on the Sabbath our topics will be about that, and we'll be asking you to take time personally in your home to spend seeking God. We've put together some sheets that have 10 days of readings that you can do personally at home. To call together maybe some of those times the family, to maybe get with other families some of the other evenings, and come together for the purpose of a spiritual revival for us individually and for us corporately as God's church. To ask that the latter rain experience begin. It is a time of drawing aside. But before that can happen corporately, it has to happen individually. I thought maybe an amen. We weren't that quiet today. You could say amen. It's still okay. There is an opportunity for us to pull away and start our own experience with God. And revive there. To be still. To be still means to vacate. It may not be what you think of the word when you first... But to be still. In fact, what I first thought of the word... To be still. I've told you about Tushy, where my mom grew up. I told you it was a small town. Told you that when you drove through it, had a welcome and you're leaving Tushy sign on the same sign, just front and back. Actually, I'm not too much exaggerating. I don't want Janine from our class this morning to think that, well, we're going to move into that exaggeration area. I looked it up on the internet. 396 population in Tushy as of this year. Big Tushy. Little town of Tushy, my grandparents lived there, and during the summers I'd spend time with them, and in the backyard they had these huge flowers, and hummingbird moths used to come to the flowers, and I wanted to see one so bad, and every time I could see one I'd run toward it. My grandma out in the backyard in her chair finally said, "Son, be still." She said, "There are some things that you can't go running after. They'll come quicker to you if you just be still. Son, be still." Now, she told me that a lot of other things too, not just for the moths. She told me that again and again. And be still. But it's true, isn't there? Some things that we run after, that what we need to do is be still and wait. Maybe they're even right here in front of us and we're the ones chasing them away. To be still for the presence of God. To draw a little closer. To be still literally means to let go, to release, to become weak, to vacate, to rest. God says, be still. In Christian Service 249, it says it this way, we must individually hear God speaking to the heart. When every other voice is hushed, and in quietness we wait before Him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us, be still and know I am God. This is the effectual preparation for all labor for God. This is the way we get ready. Amidst the hurrying throng and the strain of life's intense activities, he who is thus refreshed will be surrounded with an atmosphere of light and peace. I think we're going to glow. We're going to glow with the presence of Christ. He will receive a new endowment of both physical and mental strength. His life will breathe out a fragrance and will reveal a divine power that will reach men's hearts. Somebody told me the whole purpose of this is that we're going to have a revival and be able to minister to the world. Actually, I think the whole purpose of this is to let God move inside our hearts and do what He wants. And what it says is the result will be that people will see God in us and desire that experience. A vacation from the world. When it says be still, it's saying to vacate. To vacate, to pull away from, to release the world. I saw this on the internet. It's G-O-D. Gold, oil, and drugs. If you look carefully, it's what it says. The God of this world. The rat race. Somebody said you can understand what it's saying is gold, it's talking about the possessions. Oil, it's talking about power. And you know that's true today. Indeed, drugs, pleasure. It's looking for possessions, power, and pleasure, the gods of this world. It says we need to vacate and leave them behind. Pull away from what the world has to offer as God. And look for a God that we need. The world is afflicted with sad disease, spiritual attention deficit disorder. So busy with everything else, they can't focus on God. To take time away to be with Him. Is that you? There's a vacation where we pull away from the noise of the world and noise pollution. There's a lot of noise. I'm not just talking about the planes and the traffic and the loud music and the television commercials. I'm talking about the call of the world to our hearts for different values than which we hold. The voice that shouts so loud to pull us in like hawkers at a circus or at a fair, calling us to sell their wares and drawing us in because they want us to buy, trying to convince us that that's what we need. And the world is pulling us in to try to get us to take in their values. Vacation from the world is a temptation of the glittering, flashing lights that say it has something to offer. When we open and recognize for ourselves that all the pleasures the world have to offer are short-lived and we want something more. We want something deeper. We want an experience beyond what we've had in our past. We don't want to look and pursue as the world pursues. We want something more than to measure our success by material means. It was a businessman who decided he was going to leave the world behind because there are so many things that pull us, and they may be different for each person, the things that draw us. But he decided the way to vacate would be to pull aside for a while in a monastery. One of the brothers there in the monastery took him to a room and showed him, and then when he opened it, it was no wider than a cell. Stripped down, just a bunk with a rough-looking blanket. There were flowers there in a tin can on a table that was beat up and had the distressed look. Early American goodwill would have been perfect for the motif that was there in his established room. But he was caught off guard by the brother who turned to him and said, If you need anything, let us know. And he paused and said, and we'll teach you how to live without it. That's part of what we need in that closet experience, isn't it? To look and say there are lots of things that the world offers that we can live without. Lots of things that it holds out to us and draws on us to desire that we really don't need. We need time away with God. Do you know that spiritually God set it up for His people to have the time? He set it up yearly. He had festivals set up so that they would come together for spiritual renewal. So that during the year, there would be, during that year, a season of break for spiritual renewal. This 10 days isn't something that's so unique for a spiritual revival. God had it built into His system in the Old Testament. So if there was revival time, they would come for these feasts and come up to be with God. So that during the long progress of a year, they wouldn't forget. But not just during the year, during the week as well. There was one day in seven set aside for spiritual revival, to draw to God. And during each day, a morning time, to meet with Him in devotion, to draw ourselves to God, so that our time would keep us connected. Do you find it in your own life? Are you taking the time for spiritual revival? Are you drawing away to be still and be with God? Setting an anchor that holds us, a light that shines in the darkness, a place where the storms come in that we can grasp onto. That's what that quiet time is. A place to hold on to God. So that as the rest of the world drafts by, we won't be caught in the tailspin and just be pulled in. A vacation from the world, from its sin and pain. To vacate and pull away from it. It's hard to just watch the news, isn't it? All the pain that's there. Looking at people suffering and battling, and sometimes we block it out. We hardly hear about a battle of war that's going on. And there, we're in war. It's almost as if it doesn't exist in America. We hear reports scattered even throughout the news. If you look, many newscasts have no mention of it. You look and you hear that there are people suffering, and it's not always It's not always next door. It's oftentimes in our own families. If you listen to the prayers in our congregation, you heard people praying for those who are struggling with putting things right in their life, those who are struggling with health issues. And I would imagine if the hearts were open and we said everything that was really the need in our life, we'd be also talking about the need for restored relationships that have been broken or are falling apart. The need for hope because we're discouraged. If I ask for a raising of hands, and I'm not, if I ask for a raising of hands, how many would have raised their hands to say, we need financial help, we're struggling finance-wise? When it looks at vacation, we need a vacation from the struggle of the pain in this world. To pull away from the constant bombardment with sin and its effect. And not just for everybody else, but a vacation from my own hurt. From the yesterdays. A place where I can enter into the closet and forget about who I've been in the past. From the pain of the abuse of society, or for even my own family, or from some of their very loved ones. That I can step in and have a new identity and an audience with God, that I'm no longer here with the identity that I've had drilled into my head from the past. I can leave the words abused and failure and no good and walk in a different realm as I enter into the closet with God. I need to vacate the world that's around me and live differently to realize that there is hope, to leave the strivings. First thing I need to vacate is vacate the world and all that it holds. To be still away from the world, to pull away from that. The second, to pull away from my own strivings. To vacate the constant desire to achieve. To somehow impress God with who I am. Call it what you might. Oftentimes we take and enter the closet time. And yet I chose not to say prayer. I chose not to talk about this as a prayer experience. Because when we talk about prayer in our minds, often what we think of is speaking at God or to God. Not connecting with God. Not entering into God's presence. We often think of prayer as a one-way channel in which I unload, download my experience. So I've chosen not to call it prayer. We can call it closet time if you want. It says that we need to recognize that sometimes we need to pull away from striving to obtain acceptance with God. As if He's like a boss that we're trying to impress with our resume and we read it back to Him in some sort of verbal manner of how good we've done. Like trying to convince Him that we're a worthy risk of a loan and that He can loan His mercy to us because we're worth it. We need to vacate the striving of trying to accomplish and wearing our spiritual achievements as a badge. We need to be still. To vacate the pretending. There are faces that we wear. We wear a face that's for the public, that everybody sees. Some of us become vulnerable enough with those that we trust that we open ourselves and we wear a vulnerable face for them. And then there's the real us, which sometimes we don't even open to ourselves, alone to God. In some place, deep in that quiet time, when we're locked away from everybody else's vision, when we don't have to hide who we are, we can enter with God and become completely vulnerable. Open the deepness of who we are before Him and let Him come and clean us. Matthew 6:5-6 says it this way, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward. But when you pray, many translations say, go to your closet. It's a fair translation. Pull away to your quiet, your small, your inner chamber. If you knew the background and the culture, you realize they didn't have most of them closets like our houses. But in the big palaces, there were inner chambers for the private growth of the king. It's talking about entering into that inner chamber and pulling there and being with God. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And I think He rewards us with His presence, don't you? We can vacate the striving to be in control. Realize that we really don't maintain control. We may think that we have the click to put the things in the world and put it in the right place, and that if we just had it, we would align everything up so that it was just right. But we don't control our lives, do we? Do we? And oftentimes what we're doing is we're asking God to help us keep control when we've never had control to begin with. Let me ask, by all the things that you do to gain control of your life, can you keep your help? Do you have control over that? Can you control whether you have a financial setback or not? If you can't control your physical health, and you can't control what's going on financially, can you control your relational world so that everybody stays in love with you? When it comes down to it, what can you control? It's too much for me, God. I don't have control of my world. The load, I try and I start, but it's too much. I can't bear it on my own. I've tried to pass inspection and I realize that all my striving doesn't achieve. It's busy work. Activities assigned to undertaken that take up time but don't yield productive results. I keep spinning my wheels to somehow achieve. Be still. From striving, God's already adopted you. The certificate is already signed. You don't have to prove your kid worthy for Him to choose. He's already signed the certificate with His blood and adopted you to say, "You're mine." You don't have to prove yourself anymore. Be still. Be still. Vacate the throne. Pull away. Release the throne. Step off. Come to grips with your role, and your role isn't king. It's hard sometimes. When we look at what we do when we pray, what we often do is to try to manipulate God. We often try to convince Him of what our plan is and ask if He'll come and give a stamp to it or power for us to achieve it. The things that we ask for and seek are often our agenda, not God's. The quiet time that we're talking about is not a time to get God to do what you want Him to do. The quiet time is to come and enter into God's world in your role. Your role? To step out of the throne. And that's one of the things that quiet time can achieve, is to step off of control seat of your own life. To say, "God, I yield to You the control of my life. I don't want it anymore. Quite honestly, I realize I never have had it to begin with. It's either You in control or Satan. And I don't want him." Sometimes we need to step out of the control seat and let God take control again. God designed a role for my life and I want Him to show me what that is. I often have become so self-absorbed I need a different perspective to look outside of my world and myself to what God's plan is for the bigger picture. I need to have a new viewpoint. I need to see differently. And that can only happen when we take the time to look beyond ourselves. Beyond what my today schedule and agenda is. If you're looking at people who are counsel on how to accomplish in your life, what the first thing they'll tell you is you need to stop the frantic activity to ask yourself where you're going, because many of us are spending all our time going, not even realizing where it is. We're heading someplace very quickly and with much fervor, but we're not sure where. Take time and reevaluate where you're heading, what you're doing. And I'd say in a spiritual sense, reevaluate where you're heading as far as what God wants us to be. Be still. Peter, so willing to talk, had so much to say. "God, if this is, let me set up a place for you. I see what your plan is. Now let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to set up a little tabernacle for you to dwell right here. And we're..." That's often my prayer time. God, I got it. Here's what you want me to do. Let me just tell you what I think it is. Be still. Peter, be still. By the way, the Father speaks and says, my paraphrase, shut up. Slight paraphrase, be still. Be silent and listen to Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Pulling away in that quiet time is listening. Prayer is not just about telling God, it's about hearing from God. It's removing self from being God, from the manipulating of trying to get God to do what I want Him to. So the first step is to be still, to vacate. And the second step, it says be still for a purpose. Be still and know that I'm God. Not to be still so that I develop my own spiritual maturity. That's not the point. To be still, to grow and be more spiritual. No, that's not it. To be still is to lose you to find Him. It's God saying, get over yourself. Come and find me. Maybe sometimes the reason I'm afraid to go and be still with God is I'm not sure He's really going to be there when I get there. I'm afraid that He might not answer me, that He may have a do not disturb sign on heaven and saying, not right now, I don't have time for you. Or that will be an exercise in futility. If we really believed that it was that God was more than a doctrine, wouldn't we spend time connecting with His plan? If I said that your time spent with God is the exact demonstration of your real belief in a true living God, what would that say about how strong your belief is? Do you believe in God? Who believes in God? Who believes that God's alive and real? No, raise hands now. So how much do we demonstrate that by stepping into God's presence and having Him direct our lives? How much time do we spend before the living God in personal communion time? If He is real, it shows in how we act. Maybe it's Elijah syndrome. Elijah expected Him to somehow be there. Elijah stepped forward and waited and thought that He would be in the thunder and in the storm and in the earthquake, but it was the still small voice. And maybe the reason we don't find God is that we never get still enough to hear the voice. Know that I'm God, He says. See the real God. Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I'm God. But notice the context. It says, He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Before that, He said, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation He brings upon the earth. He says, the Lord Almighty is with us. It was a perspective of saying, come and know me as the powerful deliverer, the Almighty God, the God of justice, the God who's there to step into your world to eliminate the needs in your crisis, the God who's alive and powerful. Come and know me. Not the God who you want, but the God who is. Not just a God of grace, but a God of justice. Come and know me. Enter into the closet with me. The Almighty is here. We sometimes look for a God that's different. But it's good news to see Him as a strong and powerful God. Exodus 13, verse 14, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of our Lord. In a crisis situation, quite honestly, what else could have they done? Started building a bridge? Dug a subway? Got in a swimming team? What else could have they done? Well, as human beings, we try all kinds of things, don't we? But He warned them in their fear, just be still and see God. Most of the crises in my life come because I don't stop to say, okay, it's beyond me. I need closet time. I need to just be still and see You do. And watch for Your work. And look at Your hand, might deliver moving out on my behalf and on our behalf. Amen. then we have security. To recognize that we can go even through the valley of death and God's there. Knowing God is a calm in our life. We don't flinch with faith. We aren't taken back. We aren't in fear. When it comes, we just fall to our knees. He becomes our refuge and our strength. The closet is my harbor, my fortress, my 911. It's my mother's nursing me in my struggle. It's the arms of a gentle suitor wrapping around and giving me courage. It's my security. The closet time is my time to carry me through this valley. Your joy and satisfaction knowing God, that's what it is. Be still and find your joy and satisfaction in me. Those who are worked by the Holy Spirit. Interesting phraseology, aren't it? Those who are worked by the Holy Spirit are not led by a feeling of enthusiasm, which soon comes out in darkness. The spell of Christ's influence is abiding. Be still and know that I am God. This is a solemn, abiding quietude in God. An ongoing experience. Psalm 46 says twice, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob. It's how it closes, the God of Jacob. What did that have to do with being still and know that I'm God? Everything. Jacob was the schemer, the deceiver, who'd taken his life into his own hands and wanted to achieve. He was the one who was willing to deceive his father and cheat his brother and move to the top and wheel and deal until he could accomplish it. He was the one who took his life in his own hands and messed up. And looked back at the failure of his life and wondered what he was going to do. He was on the road by himself. The God of Jacob, who came and spoke to him as he was facing again the world before him and facing the combined power of his brother and the armies, facing his past, facing the failures in his life, that he was still enough to wrestle with God, sent everybody else ahead. The place where God had spoke to him before, God's still again with God to speak to him. And God gave him assurance and blessed him and made him weak enough to depend on him. I look at what it means to be still. The call that we want to share together is a call for an experience of entering into a personal quiet time with God. It's not like anything else that we've experienced as a congregation. A worldwide seeking of God. As far as I know, as a denomination, I can't think of a time since I've been in the ministry where we've had a worldwide call for a 10-day prayer time. And I want to tell you, this started from the laity. A group of members of the church said, we want this. We want God to do what He's planned to do. And we want that. I thought about how to start our time. And there's no better way to start it than with God. Our closing hymn, we're not going to sing from the hymnal. And it's not going to be exactly as you've probably seen before. It's not a time that I'm going to have a call for you all to come up here, because that's not really what matters. The quiet time is you and God. So for these next 3 minutes, a hymn is going to be played. When I heard the hymn, I was moved. I've listened to it probably an hour and a half. It's only 3 minutes. I've listened to it for an hour and a half over and over again. The song moves me, and it's a simple hymn, but it's a reminder that when everything else is around, we can still pull in and be with God. and lay ourselves before Him. Be still is to say, surrender yourself. Let go of yourself and know God. This is our backup version. Let's just close your eyes. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Ask that we could have the experience with you that we need. Individually, that you would revive us. That we could come to grips with who we are and recognize, Lord, how much we need you. That we could focus not on self, but on you and turning our lives over to you. That you could take complete control of us individually so that the revival that you've planned for this world could take place. So that others could find you in us. Lord, during this 10-day revival period, we just pray for your Spirit to be poured out and help us to be a part. Thank you for loving us, for seeking us, for leaving the audience chamber open. And as for me, I desire to step in and to be still. In Christ's name, amen.